Spotlight. Good evening and welcome to today's Spotlight.
I'm Ramya, and today we turn our attention to one of the most serious geopolitical escalations in recent times, the rapidly intensifying tensions between Israel and Iran.
What began as years of shadow conflict, strategic rivalry, and proxy confrontations has now moved into a far more direct and dangerous phase, raising concerns about regional stability, global security, and economic repercussions worldwide. To help us unpack the context, implications, and diplomatic outlook, we are joined today by Ambassador Prabhudayal, who brings deep insight into the strategic and international dimensions of this unfolding situation. Ambassador Dayal, thank you so much for joining us on Spotlight.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Ambassador, can you briefly explain the current scenario of the escalation between Israel and Iran, including the preemptive strikes by Israel and a state of emergency within Israel?
Well, as we look at the unfolding scenario, a significant joint offensive by Israel and the U.S. is targeting Iran. The strikes are hitting Tehran and multiple other cities, focusing on military, nuclear, and infrastructure sites. Civilian targets are also being targeted in a very consistent manner. Explosions were reported in Tehran and other major Iranian cities, with smoke rising from the sites which had been targeted. Now, the offensive targets the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is the big military force in Iran. And therefore, we have noticed that military targets in western Iran and infrastructure of the IRGC has been attacked. A report indicates strikes on nuclear facilities, including those in Fordo, Isfahan, and Natanz. Now, the operation is a direct joint effort by Israel and the U.S., labeled by the U.S. officials as a major combat. Now, the U.S. had already deployed major air power and naval power, including the USS Gerald Ford and the USS Abraham Lincoln. These are two big carrier strike groups, plus also fighter jets and refueling tankers. Now, the operation appears to be a large-scale, potentially sustained offensive rather than a limited strike. And it is designed to neutralize Iranian nuclear capabilities and weaken the regime. Now, frankly speaking, Trump has repeatedly said that he wants regime change. And the manner in which these attacks have been carried out does indicate the intention of the United States and Israel to target the regime itself and overthrow it. So whether this happens or not remains to be seen, but certainly regime change is a very important objective of these attacks.
So, Ambassador, Israel has named this operation the Lion Roars and framed it as a preemptive or defensive move. Strategically, what message is Israel sending by choosing such a name and by striking so close to the Supreme Leader's offices and the presidential complex?
Israel has designated this campaign as Operation Lion's Roar, or the Roaring Lion, and the U.S. has called it Operation Epic Fury. Now, by choosing this name, Operation Lion's Roar, Israel is sending a strategic message of uncompromising strength, existential resolve, and a shift towards regime change or regime destabilization. Now, the name was personally chosen by Prime Minister Netanyahu as a name for the preemptive strikes, and it carries several layers of strategic and psychological weight because, you know, the name is rooted in a biblical prophecy which compares the people of Israel to a lion that shall not lie down until he eats off the prey. Now, in other words, in Israeli military culture, the lion represents vigilance, historical resilience, and decisive action. So the name Lion's Roar echoes a previous Israeli operation against Iran in June last year, which was called the Rising Lion. So by evolving the name from a rising lion to a roaring one, Israel signals that its posture has transitioned from preparation to active, aggressive confrontation.
From the US side, officials are calling this a major combat operation and stressing the goal of eliminating threats from the Iranian regime. How does Washington's stated objective align or conflict with Israel as you understand them?
Washington's stated objectives appear totally aligned with Israel's, and both sides are pursuing the long-term goal of not just neutralizing Iran's nuclear and military capabilities, but also setting up conditions for a potential regime change. Both Washington and Jerusalem have stated that they want to destroy Iran's nuclear infrastructure and its ballistic missile infrastructure. And they want to ensure that Iran never obtains a nuclear weapon. Now, the joint operation included strikes on key nuclear sites, as I mentioned earlier, Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. Now, both U.S. President Donald Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are explicitly targeting the leadership of the Islamic Republic, and they want to disrupt the IRGC and encourage the Iranian people to take their destiny into their own hands. So a shared goal of the U.S. and Iran is to destroy the regime and also Iran's network of proxy groups and naval capabilities, which are seen as threats to both U.S. interests in the Gulf and Israeli security.
So, Ambassador, can you tell us how much of the current escalation is tied to Iran's nuclear program or ballistic missile capabilities, and what would be realistic pathways to address those concerns diplomatically?
As I understand it, the reports regarding the strikes in Tehran and other Iranian cities have been targeting a broad, sustained attempt. So this is not a limited, purely punitive strike. It's much broader than that. Reports indicate that dozens of targets were hit, including nuclear facilities, ballistic missile factories, the IRGC infrastructure. So the targeting of Natanz and other critical nuclear infrastructure indicates that a strategic goal is to destroy rather than merely threaten, and to destroy Iran's ability to produce nuclear weapons. So, as we all heard through these reports, the strikes targeted areas near the offices of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. And this sort of indicates that the strikes go beyond hurting Iran's military capability, and they directly challenge and target the leadership structure. So the scope and the focus of the targets indicate that this is a broad attempt to change the regime in Iran and bring about something which is in accordance with what the U.S. and Iran want. Now, what can the diplomatic efforts be like? You know, a country like India, we just don't want an escalation for various reasons. Firstly, we are in the immediate vicinity. Now, if you see the scenario in our region, there is a war which is going on between Pakistan and Afghanistan. And then immediately west of that, this huge conflict has started between Iran on one side and the U.S. and Israel on the other. So we don't want such a troubled neighborhood. We are likely to find that our oil supplies are affected, our trade is affected, and if the conflict escalates or if it widens to other countries in this region, then the Indian expatriate population could also be adversely affected. So we seek the efforts of other like-minded countries to work together and try to bring about a diplomatic solution. And at the moment, the manner in which the situation has escalated, it would be difficult to resolve the matter diplomatically.
So I was going to come on that. Is there a space for confidence-building measures?
Well, there is always scope for confidence-building measures, but the scenario at the moment is not really ripe for that. Okay. I think in the immediate scenario, what is likely is exchange of the firing from both sides. I mean, in other words, it's going to be more than a limited campaign, because initially both Israel and the U.S. had said this is a limited campaign, but the signals are that it is going to go beyond that.
Ambassador, civilian casualty is an unavoidable and unfortunate reality of any country which faces military strikes or any attacks. Keeping that in mind, what should be done to protect civilian population on both sides?
Well, the civilian population on both sides is being directly targeted. The Israelis are saying that in Iran, in Tehran, the IRGC sites have been built up in civilian areas. So they say that they are targeting the IRGC sites. But then what is actually happening is that civilian areas are being targeted. And in addition, of course, some of the important government civilian sites have been targeted. So it's very difficult because civilians are unfortunately victims in a conflict of this sort. What the Israelis have done is they have prepared adequate shelters and they have gone through various drills to make sure that their civilian population is moved to these shelters. Of course, the Iranians have also done so to quite a great extent. But the simple fact is that the Iranian population is much bigger and it's very highly concentrated in some areas, for instance, in Tehran. And so providing adequate, quick, safe shelter to such a large civilian population is a huge challenge for the Iranians. So right. It's unfortunate that civilians are targeted, civilians are very adversely affected, but that is the sad part of a conflict of this sort.
Ambassador, if diplomacy ever resumes, who would be the most credible mediator?
Well, if some back channel talks take place, I do hope that some sort of mechanism is put in place to have back channel talks and have some sort of mediation and with a view to bring about peace and end the conflict.
A very important question that really needs light from your part is how significant is the risk of miscalculation at this stage, especially with missile systems, air defenses and cyber capabilities involved?
The risks are going to be huge because the capabilities of both sides are quite credible. Of course, the US and Israel put together have much greater military might. And a slight miscalculation can cause immense damage to the civilian population of Iran, which has already been suffering immensely during the past several decades. They are suffering from economic problems and also a whole lot of other problems which they want to somehow end. So any slight misfire or miscalculation could further hurt their interests. Then, of course, Israeli missiles could target inadvertently, if they go wrong, certain sites in Iran which are of religious importance, and that could create a huge furore. Similarly, if Iranian missiles target civilians in Israel, naturally the consequences will be very, very adverse for that particular section of the civilian population. Then the missiles from Iran could go astray, it could hurt the countries adjoining Iran. So there is possibility of misstep or a miscalculation, and naturally the consequences are always quite grave. I hope that things of this sort don't happen. And in fact, I hope that the conflict is resolved and that there's mediation which works and that this very unfortunate situation which we are finding in the Middle East can come to an end.
So listeners, as we conclude this discussion, it's clear that the developments between Israel and Iran carry implications far beyond the region, touching global diplomacy, security and economic stability. In moments like these, informed dialogue becomes more important than ever. Ambassador Dayal, thank you for sharing your valuable insights and helping us better understand the complexities, risks and possible diplomatic pathways ahead. We truly appreciate your perspective and your willingness to help our listeners better understand the diplomatic, regional and global dimensions of this issue.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.